here know how God is so great. We serve such an amazing God. He's so awesome. He's magnificent. And he's worthy of all of our praise. God is so great. Hallelujah.
What joy shall fill our hearts.
Confess to you that I have gone over and over and over this, trying to not make it heavy. And I went back over it again last night, and I looked at it again this morning. Where can I, what can I cut out? What can I take away from it? What can I do to lighten this up? And the answer was nothing. So we just gonna have to, this is something that we just have to talk about today. Is that all right? And it isn't any wonder that I got sick during the week, because we don't talk about this anymore. And I said, boy, there must be a reason that I'm not supposed to be in the pulpit on Sunday. And my mentor said to me, if they have to wheel you in there, you give that word. He said, what are you talking about on Sunday? I said, holiness. He said, make sure if they've got to get you there in the ambulance, get there and give the word. So we're going to focus in on the 14th verse, which says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Yeah. So we're talking today on this topic, without it, you won't see. Come on, it's not necessarily a shouting message, but don't stare at me either. Amen. Let me get with you for just a second, if I can. I am not a motivational speaker. I have not been tasked to be a motivational speaker. The Lord has not given me a task to be a motivational speaker. Amen. He called me and set me apart to preach the word. In season and out of season, whether you like it or not, whether you want to hear it or not, because when I stand before him, I want to have clean hands, and I don't want him to say, why didn't you preach my word? I didn't tell you to preach folks happy. I told you to tell them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So here's the thing, family. Holiness, without it, you won't see it. See, the weight of this passage is clear. We can't be with God without first being holy. The Bible puts so much emphasis on holiness, but why don't we talk about it? Come on. We think that holiness is denominational. Where are my pastors? We think that holiness is it belongs to the Church of God in Christ. But the Bible, which is for all of us, says without it, you won't see it. If you ask the average Christian what does it mean to be holy, they can't even answer you.
because they can't grasp the concept. And it is a hard concept, Pastor. It's a hard concept to grasp. But both the Old and the New Testament put a high priority on holiness. Amen. So we're going to look at it today. What is holiness? I just said to you that most people can't even define it. And kind of that's rightly so, right? Because the holiness of God should, and it is far beyond our comprehension to really and truly grasp it. Because if we could grasp a complete image of an infinite God with a finite mind, then we could understand, right? But even a small glimpse of God, a small glimpse of God puts men on their knees. The Bible says that Isaiah saw a vision of God and he cried out, "Woe unto me, for I'm undone." Job went on and claimed that if I could see God, I would ask him why all this trouble has come. And when God spoke to Job, he never even asked him why. Instead, Job cried out, "I am unworthy," and I put my hands over my mouth. And Ezekiel saw the same vision that Isaiah saw, and he fell on his face on the ground until God himself lifted him up. What are you talking about? We come to church like we're doing God a favor. Anybody in here real? We walk in the house like we're doing somebody a favor by being here. And throughout the Bible, we see the same response when men had an encounter with God. No man can see God in all his glory. Moses begged him, did he not? He begged him to reveal his glory, and God said, "No man shall see my face and live." Amen. Why? Because we don't measure up. Come on, somebody. Right. And what doesn't measure up to the holiness of God can't survive in his presence. Amen. But see, there's going to be a day. I'm going to talk to somebody in here. Where's my amen corner? There's going to be a day when men will be made pure and can see God face to face. But until then, the Bible says that we need to pursue holiness and draw closer to God. In simple terms, if not simplistic, holiness means to be set apart. Come on. It means to be a set apart from everything. See, God is unique and he is above our creation and nothing measures up to him and nothing can be compared to it. A finite mind cannot grasp God, because there's nothing in creation that's compared to it. We use symbolism sometimes, and it's used even through the Bible to paint a picture in our mind's eye. The Bible often points to something that can be seen as a symbol for us to get a small glimpse of things that can't accurately be explained. There's a passage where Jesus points about what a symbol of hell is like. And it can't fully be grasped, but it was a valley where dead animals and every kind of vile waste was thrown and burned. And that offered a vivid picture that the folks could relate to. Symbolism is meant to fall short of the real thing because it serves only as a glimpse into a mystery of something that can't fully be explained. However, with God, there was never a symbol given because there is nothing that compares to him, even on the smallest scale. We're talking about a holy God. Now, God made it clear that he didn't want to diminish holiness. He didn't want his holiness to be diminished by comparison. Prove it, because the second commandment says what? Not to make a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. See, because if we get a symbolistic idea of God, we lose the awesomeness of who he really is, and our minds get closed off to the majesty and the majestic power and focused on what we have symbolized him to be. Amen. The holiness of God is the highest honor expressed in Scripture. In Scripture, something we talked about this morning in Sunday school, it's repeated, and that frequently it causes us to draw attention to it so we don't miss it. Jesus said, "Truly, truly." King James Version says, "Verily, verily." When we emphasize something, that means whatever comes after that is of great importance, and we have to pay close attention to what is being said. And how However, when it comes to the holiness of God, the Bible makes it the highest of things by saying it not twice, but three times. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Isaiah saw angels around the throne saying, God is holy, holy, holy. And in Revelation 4 and 8, we see it again. It says there's four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes all around them. They don't rest day or night because they're around the throne crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I searched scripture and there is no other triple stress in the Bible except holiness. And then it tells us without it, we won't see it. Understand, God is separate from everything, and nothing compares to Him. We are holy because we become partakers of His holiness. We're separated from the world to be holy in Him. I'm trying to help somebody. In Revelation 15, it says, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. And I see some faces already. And I know some spirit in here already is saying, why be holy? Oh, come on, let's be real, because we don't like to talk about this stuff. I know somebody in here already, or somebody spoke into your spirit. Why be holy? 2 Peter 3, write it down, 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to keep reading. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that in will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in holy conduct in godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved on fire and the element. This passage in itself answers the why question. If the world one day will be dissolved along with everything, and Jesus is going to come in all His glory, why put your inheritance on things down here? No, y'all aren't with me today. Why would you invest in a sure loss? I don't know about y'all, but I work hard for every nickel that I have. And when I invest it, I make sure that I do some research. I look before I just dump my stuff into anything. I research it and I see, does it have a track record of being successful? Does it have a track record of making broken things whole? Don't invest in stuff down here, because when you leave here, you're going to leave it right here. Come on, there's somebody in here. But there are folks who will invest in a sure loss. Yeah. And realistically speaking, most people do. Because there's a little four-letter word. I'm going in everybody's driveway today. Mile and two. There's a four-letter word that trips us all up, and it's called lust. The Bible warns us not to be taken by it, right? The great deception lures us into investing our hope in the world that will be dissolved, so that we neglect and even forfeit our future inheritance. Mm-hmm. All the repentance and sorrow in the world will not correct the loss we will suffer when this life is over. And we come then to verse 14, which says, pursue peace with all people. I'm going to stop right there, because that doesn't mean get in bed with everybody. If somebody has done you wrong, make peace with that. Doesn't mean you jump back into bed with them. Come on, somebody. Make peace with them. I'm not talking about a literal bed, unless it needs to be. But I'm talking about, don't you make peace and move on. Come on, somebody. That's how we end up staying in places we're not supposed to be. Lord done told you to move and you sit there for another 5 years. Come on. Ain't nobody care where your grandmama went to church. Your grandma dead. This is you. Come on, somebody. The stern warnings of Scripture are only harsh for those who choose to disregard it. Come on, right? I ain't going to that church that preacher talked about me. I don't know you. I didn't think I had to study all week long so I could get in there and poke in the pulpit and insult Brother Justin. You follow? Yeah. The stern warnings of Scripture are harsh to those who disregard them. God's warning of judgment isn't to make us feel guilty, but to direct us away from harm and towards the promise. See, there's a difference between guilt and conviction. Come on, there's a difference between guilt and conviction. I sat on the organ for 22 years. I sat on the organ for 22 years, and that was my pastor right there. And I used to get so mad at him. I used to get mad before he even started preaching. Because I just knew he was talking about me. That there's a difference between guilt and conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and leads us towards repentance. Guilt is the result of receiving the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, we rightly feel guilty when we insist on going down a road that God told us will lead to destruction. Do we not? Come on and be real. When we're deceived into believing false promises of the lust of the world, we cast away the promises and the warnings of God. Guilt becomes the remembrance of what lies ahead. Therefore, we don't want to be reminded of God's holiness. Whether we hide from guilt or resist conviction doesn't change the end result. I'll say it again because somebody ought to shout. Whether we hide from guilt or resist the conviction doesn't change the end result. The commands of God are life to those who respond. Revelation 20:6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. If you were in Sunday school, you would know what the second death was because we talked about that this morning, did we not? Now, some of you are going to ask me, Pastor, how are we to be holy? Don't ask me. Read the Bible. Colossians 1:21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now you have been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. There it is. We've already looked at how God alone is holy, and by nature we are alienated and enemies of him, right? But through the cross we've been reconciled, come on somebody, so that he can present us as holy and blameless. This is the foundation that we build our understanding on. To be holy, I must receive God's holiness. The holiness that I present to God is nothing more than what he has already given unto me. Now, don't lose sight. As we examine how we become holy, we act in obedience. And there's two passages in Scripture. I'm going to give you a lot. Write them down. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's where we all mess up right there. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We trip up because it says, I beseech you, brethren, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And we got church folks that smell like alcohol. We've got deacons that smell like weed. We've got folks that are tipping and bobbing and weaving in houses that don't belong to them. And then we wonder why God isn't blessing us. I'm not talking at you, I'm talking with you. But if you want everything that God has for you, and you want to walk in the mercy that he has, and you want to see, receive your inheritance, then you must walk holy. And in order to be holy, the first thing that you've got to do is submit your body as a living sacrifice. Be careful what you put into it. Be careful where you take it. Don't let just anybody touch it. Holiness. Without it, you will not see God. I didn't write the Bible. Go home and take it up with Jesus. I'm not trying to be heavy, but I'm trying to get you to understand. We don't have everything that God wants for us to have. Because we don't give him our all. And simple, good service isn't going to get the job done. A phrase like, well, the Lord knows my heart, that ain't gonna get it done. Without holiness, you will not see God. It is cut and dry. I shared with you, my stepdaddy was a good man. He gave to the poor, he fed the sick, he took care of the widows, he even sat in church. Why? Because his grandmama and his mama sat in church. But he never confessed the Lord as his Savior. And when I stood over his casket, I didn't want to tell a lie, but I had to think of something to say. So I said, the Lord gave and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is there one? They haven't asked me to do another funeral in the family since. Present your body a sacrifice. Yes. Then the verse says, be transformed. Yes. God transforms us by his power and by his spirit. Mm-hmm. Apart from God's grace, there's no transformation. Yes. Apart from his grace, there's no forgiveness. There's no way really for us to be holy. Our transformation begins at the cross. Where we surrender our sins and every part of our lives to him. Every part of our lives to him. See, we want to give him 90 and we want to keep the 10 that really feeds our flesh, do we not? And we think because we clean up on Sunday and we do a reasonable service that that is enough. But that is not the case. You must walk in holiness. Everywhere that you go, every place that you are, everything that you do, everything that you meditate on, everything that you take in, everywhere your footsteps, you should be walking in integrity. You should be walking in holiness so that when the world sees you, they won't act like the world around you because they'll have enough respect for who you are and the God that you serve that when you get in their presence, they'll stand up just a little bit straight. Holiness. Without it, you won't see him. Present yourself to God. The passage we read tells us to present our bodies to God as a sacrifice. Until I make myself available, I'm not usable. This is the new age. Somebody should have tweeted that. Until I make myself available, I am not usable. I'm not teachable. I'm not trainable. I'm not useful to the kingdom. When I hold on to my own life, God can't give me eternal life.
Come on now.
Jesus said, he who saves his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. My life in my hands means little to God.
All right.
What can I do that God can't do for himself? Come on. When I present, and when we present our life and our body to God and declare us to be set apart, I yield my rights to pursue my own desires. See, you miss that. When you give him everything, you give up your rights to bob and weave. When you give him your whole heart, you give up the right to sleep with somebody else's husband. When you give him everything, you give up the right to be high and drunk. Come on, somebody. When you give him everything, then you give up the right to watch porn and do drugs and cuss and swear and carry on like the world does and come in on Sunday morning and expect God to bless you anyhow. God can take your life then when you give it to him and use it to make an impact with his power.
Yes.
The other part said we need to renew our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me share this with you. That's a daily process.
Yes.
I said downstairs, sometimes I've got to remind myself that this don't mean anything. I've got to remind myself that this is not my home. I have to remind myself that I'm just traveling through here. I've got to be right while I'm here, but I've got to focus on things that are eternal and not things that are simply temporal and down here. I've got to daily renew my mind. I can't live on yesterday's holiness. Israel was taught this example with the manna in the desert. Am I right? They wandered for 40 years and they ate manna from heaven, and God told them, gather enough just for the day. Come on. And he told them, if you save it, that the maggots will come and destroy it. What he was trying to do is he was trying to teach them to trust him day by day and not rely on what you had yesterday and not rely on what you did the day before, but every day to trust him. Why? Because the Bible says that there's no shadow of turning within him, but it also says that morning by morning, and the hymn writer said, new mercies I see. I'm not walking on yesterday's stuff. I'm in today's stuff. And while I slumber and slept last night like a dead man, God was up and he was worrying on my behalf. He was creating new and fresh mercies for me so that when I rise up in the morning, I can rise to fresh new stuff. No leftovers, new mercy, fresh mercy just for me. I've got to renew my mind. Come on, somebody. We often live because we've had a great mountaintop experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect that to last us a lifetime.
Yeah.
Do we not?
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you don't cultivate something,
that's right. That's right.
Every day,
yeah.
You can't simply say, I made it, and then sit down and do nothing. We worked to build the church. And as the people came, if we stopped working before we know it, we'll have to start working again because the church will be empty.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Finally, rest your hope in heaven. In the book of Peter, we are instructed to fashion conduct based on hope. In his revelation. When we put our focus on the world, it's hard not to be conformed to it.
Right.
Is it not?
Amen.
When we put our focus on everything that is down around here, it's hard not to be conformed to it. Come on, somebody. If you're around a bunch of folks who drink and smoke, before you know it, you'll be drinking and smoking. If you hang around a bunch of folks who cuss and swear as a part of their regular vocabulary, before you know it, you'll find yourself doing the same thing. Am I right about it? Come on. But you've got to focus on things that are not of this world. We can still fall prey to lust that enslaves us while we were ignorant, because that is a deception of the devil. But we need to look towards God and his grace that has been stored up under the altar for us. We'll be disappointed sometimes in this life, but we still have hope. Come on, somebody. Life will hurt us, but we still have hope. People will leave us, but we still have hope. People will die on this side, but the Bible says we don't sorrow like those who have what? No, hope. Come on, somebody. You've got to rest your hope in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
When my hope is in heaven and the coming revelation of Jesus Christ, I'll be drawn into the holiness of God. My focus is on him and reaching the finish line. Come on, somebody. And y'all can look at me and say, yeah, it's easy because you've got some money and some cars and a big, big house. But when I die, my brother, who don't even talk to me, is going to rifle through my stuff like I've never even been here. He's going to drive my Benz till the inspection sticker run out and leave it right in the parking lot. They're going to pull the crystal down from my bathroom chandeliers and sell it to the lowest bidder like I have never been here. And my focus, if it was only on that stuff, would be nothing but in vain. You've got to build your hopes and your focus on things that are eternal. Come on, somebody. The holiness of God is his character, and that is set apart from the world. Our holiness is our lives being set apart for him. And as we close this out, let's just get together here. God hasn't changed. See, y'all don't even know when to shout. Reverend Goodman, God hasn't changed. He was the same God that my granddaddy had. He was the same God that his granddaddy had. And what was wrong then is wrong now. Just because we've gotten far away from him doesn't excuse the fact that the Bible is still right. God hasn't changed. Times have, but he hasn't. People have, but he hasn't. If God has ever spoken, he means what he said forever. If God ever made a promise, that promise stands forever. If God ever loved us, it endures forever. If God has forgiven us, he forgives us forever. If God has ever been with us, he'll abide in us forever. The God who was before time, who created time and counted time and came and disrupted time, is going to step out one day. And the Bible says it's going to crack the sky. And every eye is going to see him. Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
is that sure?
Yes.
Without holiness, you won't sing. See, they didn't want to. Can shout without it. Amen.
Yeah.
Without holiness, we will not see God.
Yeah.
Understand, we're not here to stay, family. This is only a temporary thing.
Yes.
We're not here to stay.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, and give him some praise. Yeah. God is good, and he's worthy of our praise in season and out of season. When we don't feel like it, when things go our way, when death has creeped in, when it seems like everything is dark, when it seems like our time here has come to an end, remember that there's a God in heaven who sees you right where you are. He loves you, and if you love him back, and you walk in integrity, and you walk in holiness, the Bible says you will see him, but you've got to walk right. You've got to stand right. Stand tall and be what God has called you to be. There is a hymn of the church that says, time is filled with swift transition.
Yeah.
Not on earth can move or stand.
Uh-huh.
But you ought to build. I wish I had some folks who knew how to shout up in here. You ought to build your hopes on things eternal and hold on to God's unchanging hand. Somebody say, hold on. Somebody say, hold on. Somebody say, hold on. And if you do it long enough, you can sing the last verse and sing it with integrity when it says, when your journey is complete. If to God you have been true, Sister Catwell, fair and bright, the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Come on, somebody, as we open the doors of the church, hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand.